This is Fresh Air.
Hustler, word, I pull the trigger long. Grip my teeth, spray to every nigga's gone. Got my block sewn on my dope spots. Last thing I sweat, so suck a punk cop. Move like a king when I roll hops. You try to flex, bang, another bang. Nigga drop. You gotta deal with this, cause in the way out. Why? Cash money ain't never gonna play out. I got nothing to lose.
New Jack City, starring rap singer Ice-T, is the number two grossing film in this country. It's a story about the making of a black drug lord in Harlem, about the greed decade of the 80s, and about whether law enforcement institutions really give a damn about drugs in the ghettos. It's also a film about violence, whose producers have seen violence erupt at some theaters where it's showing. Mario Van Peebles directed New Jack City. He says it's a movie whose time is now.
Well, first of all, you have to understand this is all cyclical. It was like about 20 years ago to the month that my father directed, I call him Melvin Van Movies, but he's Melvin Van Peebles, directed, wrote, produced, starred in Sweet Sweetback's Badass Song, which was out in the movie theaters. And when that opened up, only two theaters in the whole United States would play it, and it broke all the box office records. It became the top independent grossing hit for 1971 or 70, I think it was 71. And after that, the studio said, gee, you know, these colored movies, this might make some money here. So after that, the studios, which are, of course, white, made Shaft and Superfly and started to make what became known as the blaxploitation, where you had basically white folks making money from black actors, shooting up whatever they were shooting up. I don't remember what they were shooting at, but they were shooting at something. And those movies got worse and worse until they weren't happening anymore. And then Hollywood said, well, I guess colored movies aren't making money. And so it's taken that long for, the pendulum to swing back where they say, well, Spike did okay and Eddie Murphy did okay and Cosby's doing okay. So in that climate, they look over at me and say, hey, he's the son of Melvin Van Peebles and he's been directing. I directed Wise Guys and Jump Streets and a lot of television and after school specials and whatnot. So they gave me a shot. Warner Brothers called me in and along with the producers, Doug McHenry and George Jackson, gave us a shot to do New Jack City, which is basically based on a drug lord in Harlem.
And when right. I read and articles that were in the Village Voice about that scene, right?
I mean, it's so authentic. When you see New Jack City, the way they make the crack is authentic, except for they have less clothing on. There's less violence in the movie that really is a part of that lifestyle. The way they walk the guy down the street naked happened on 125th Street. So there's so much of it, the way they computerize the drug thing, and so you don't get caught in a hand-to-hand buy. Rafael Edmonds and Felix Mitchell did that. So a lot of it is really, really based in reality, the way the guy turns state's evidence at the end. But New Jack City goes beyond being an indictment of a gangster to being an indictment of the system that created that gangster. And that's where I think the real controversy is.
Let's talk about that indictment. I mean, the junkie.
Chris Rock, yeah.
Yeah, he wears, the junkie wears an American flag shirt.
Right, there's a lot of
sort of... So why?
Because what Judd Nelson says in the movie, Judd Nelson plays one of the cops, and Judd says, this drug epidemic, it's not a black thing, it's not a white thing, it's a death thing, and death doesn't care what color you are. And I wanted to get back to the fact that really this doesn't just affect the black community, it affects all the communities, and it affects white kids too. There's a lot of perception in the black communities that if drugs is just wiping out blacks in the inner cities, then no one gives a damn. As Nino Brown says in the end of New Jack City, Nino the gangster, he says, look, you can take me to jail. That's cool. But understand something. We don't make Uzis up in Harlem. That's an Israeli weapon. Someone over there is getting paid. We don't have poppy fields in Harlem. That's ridiculous. There's no one in Harlem that has a poppy field. These drugs get there in a big quantity because it's a big business, and they all know that. And so it's not just an inner city thing. And so there are a lot of people that I feel that as long as it's in the inner city, no one really cares.
George Mansour, who is a film curator at the Institute of Contemporary Art in Boston and mm-hmm. has been a film booker for a long time, mm-hmm. says that he said something interesting. He said that what's really going on here is that nice middle-class people really don't seem to want to have anything to do with the kind of people they imagine who are going to see New Jack City. And that actually is almost verbatim what a very sort of progressive, liberal-minded white friend of mine said. that I don't think I want to go there. It's not the kind of scene I want to be in. I want you to step out of Hollywood for a moment, and tell me what you think's going on.
That's a valid point. I mean, movies are for, I think, all Americans. And if you don't want to go to a movie because you're afraid a certain segment of the population will go, and I guess you can see it when it comes to home video if you're interested. But those people, I think, are really sort of out of the mix anyway. I mean, if they were in the mix, I think they would probably, maybe understand it. We wouldn't have the problem that we do. The problem is that exactly that, the inner cities have been forgotten. And that you're looking at are forgotten people. I mean, this movie is for those kids that need to be saved. This is for those kids that need to see this movie. This is for, I mean, when I did the home show, the lady told me, she said, "Mario, I've seen the movie. This is the scared straight of crack. If my kid were even thinking about dealing, I would take him to see this movie."
Those kids,
see, the kids don't see Gandhi in droves. They really don't. They don't turn out to see a little movie on Chico Mendez in droves. That's all of us adults who have choices in our lives, clapping for ourselves, and it's very nice sort of cinematic masturbation. It doesn't reach the audience that it needs to see it. If you want to make a movie that's anti-drug, you better get it to the kids that need to see it. I have an education, you have an education. If we get hooked on crack, that's on us. I mean, we had the choice. What I'm talking about reaching is the audience that don't have a choice.
And those people who say, no, this is just a cookbook for kids to learn how to do violence,
they haven't seen the movie. They just haven't seen the movie. They said that about rock and roll. They'll say that about, they just haven't seen the movie. And, you're always going to get people like that make judgments without reading the books. Like my grandmother said, don't judge a book by its cover. But we all know better than that. We just tend to do that. I know I do that. I go, well, I probably know what that movie's about. But in the case of New Jack City, this is one of the first strong anti-drug movies that kids are turning out in droves to see. Kids of all colors. You can't open a movie like New Jack City in only 825 theaters across America and make $7 million your first weekend and beat Hard Way, which is at 1,600 theaters, by $1 million without kids, both white and black, going out to see this movie. And now the adults are starting to go.
Mario Van Peebles is my guest. He is the director of the film New Jack City. We'll be back after a short break. This is Fresh Air. Mario Van Peebles is my guest. He's the director of New Jack City.
I'm still here and talking away.
And a woman, a black woman, who I was talking to just this morning, who works with us here, who says, well, what about the women in this movie? What do we learn about women in this movie? We learn that they can shoot too, mm-hmm. and that they can get shot. And mm-hmm. well, I suppose, yes, there is a lawyer who, for a very short period of time, but mostly maybe what you learn is that women can get in the way of buddy love between two men.
That's interesting. Well, first of all, you have to understand, when you make a movie in 90 minutes, you can't get too preachy. If you do a movie, New Jack City, one of the biggest things about it we got was how authentic it was. And we got a super high score from young women, a super high score. They were very surprised at how high the score was from young women. And you can't make a movie and say, well, God, I got to make it incumbent upon this movie to deal with a pregnant Puerto Rican problem or the women thing or the, you've got to really make a movie and tell the story. But in that story, I like to open it up. I mean, the Asian cop in New Jack City doesn't have a big role, but I think it's important that he's there. And let me give you an example. When I remember as a kid seeing Humphrey Bogart movies, you probably did too. When I watched him, I thought, hey, I'd like to do the Humphrey Bogart role. I mean, I thought if I identified with anyone just like you, it was probably a Humphrey Bogart. Until the black butler would inevitably come on and go, whoa, Mr. Bogart, they got to go stop that. You can't go up there. And you go, gee, if I was born back then, I'd be stuck playing the butler. There's no way I'd get to do this love scene with Lauren Bacall. I can forget it. This dream is not for me. And so what happens is later on when I'm directing finally, I want to just open it up to Americans of all colors. Most of the time when you see a black cop in an action movie, he's the police commissioner. He's got no hair, and he sort of says, bring it in on budget, or I'll have your badge, or, that kind of line, right? You've seen that role before, haven't you?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So in New Jack City, first thing they said, well, are you going to make the white guy the police commissioner? And I said, no, I'm not going to do unto them as they've done unto us. I'll do unto them as I'd have them do unto us. And when I went to get an Asian cop, they sent me a couple of Asian guys with big round faces and glasses, and they came in going, oh, 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 oh. And it was like this stereotype. And I laughed at first, and then I realized that was their version of the butler. So in New Jack City, when Russell Wong came in, who's great looking, he's strong, even though it's just a small role, people pick up on that this guy has a leading man thing going on too. And people pick up on, even though the women, the female roles aren't big, there's a woman who's sexy, who's the predator, there's the woman who's the victim, there's the woman who's the gangster, there's a woman who's a lawyer. There's a real mix. So across the board, there's an interesting mix of humanity. And I like to try to do that. Now, you can't change the focus and have a whole paragraph about her saying, well, I'm a woman and I'm a gangster and we can, you know, I mean, you got to stay, you got to tell the story. I mean, you got to be aware of that. You got to tell the story and move it along. These kids go to sleep or they go get gummy bears and you lose your audience. The New Jack City kids come and they hoot and they holler and they cheer when Chris Rock is about to get on crack and they tell him to just say no, and they hoot and holler when the lawyer takes down Nino Brown at the end. I mean, so they're in there and they're rooting for the right side of the equation. And that's an achievement. I mean, most action movies, you just see people get blown up and there's no message that I can think of. Can you?
You've said before that you cast Ice-T into this movie because of the way he uses ghetto Shakespearean prose.
Right.
Well, first of all, what is that? For people who don't know, and it certainly isn't the world that you grew up in.
No, it's not. No, it's not. And again, I mean, I hope that as an artist, I'm not going to be limited to my personal experiences, or I'll make one or two movies and I'll be in big trouble. I mean, Coppola was never in Vietnam, but he did a hell of a job with Apocalypse Now. So I hope that I'll always be able to go beyond my own personal experience. I did work in a drug treatment center.
And what do you mean by ghetto Shakespearean prose?
Okay, I'll give you an example. When I first met Ice-T, I was at this club, and I heard this guy say, yo, 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 if you could take my body, hold it up to a microscope, and see one molecule of my entire system that gave a damn. I turned around and said, who said that, you know? And it was Ice-T. And he had such an authentic street voice. But even more importantly than his voice, Ice-T in his own life rejected drugs, and in his own life was in a gang and got out of a gang and rejected gang violence. So I wanted my cop to be someone that was authentic on the streets, that boys and girls could come in and go, yo, that's Ice-T, man. He used to be in a gang, and he said no to that stuff. And they would come in and emotionally get on board with him. So that was very important. And when Ice-T came into the audition, he said, yo, Van Peebles, I don't know about this acting, but this role comes from the heart.
Do you and your father talk about the sort of the different trajectory of your own two careers in films? I mean, you've been kind of a hot success from the get-go, and he's spent a lifetime struggling at it.
Yeah, I'm just more talented. I mean, I think, you know, I deserve what I get. I'm kidding. I know Dad will kill me when he hears that. I'm kidding. People go, what? No, man. I've had my spells. You know, we all have. I mean, my dad always said, son, there's four phases in your life, you know. First phase is they say, Mario who? Next phase, they say, Mario baby. Next phase, they say, get me a young Mario. And then one day it becomes Mario who again. So, you know, I've seen that happen to my dad. I mean, there was a time when things came easier to him too. But understand something, 20 years ago was a lot tougher. I mean, Melvin Van Movies had to open the door for the Hudlins and for Spike and myself and all those guys. It was a lot rougher. My first movie, I'm making it for $8.5 million and I'm in the studio system. His first movie, he had to make it, you know, out of his socks, and it was very tough. So he had a much tougher road.
My guest has been Mario Van Peebles, director of the film New Jack City.
Yo, Dave, you get the sticks. Slim, get the bass. Yo, are you ready to kick it? Here we go. This is the sound. Have your partner and get down.
This is Fresh Air.